Okay. As we start, I need to do one thing first. And that is, I need to make absolutely sure that everybody knows the rules for what happens if a Sunday shows up and Barbara and I are not here. If a Sunday comes and we're not here, there should be somebody else who is here ready to take our place for both hours. For example, when I came in this morning and saw the projector and the screen set up, I thought, okay, maybe I made a mistake with whoever I talked to, and they think they're going to go this morning I'm still here, which would be awkward, but certainly possible. But we are going to be gone for a few Sundays over the next few months. And if a Sunday comes and we're not here, look for somebody else that looks like they're going to be up front. We'll try to let Allison know, and so she'll know who to look for. But if it turns out that we're not here and nobody else is either, then what do you do? What does that mean? It means you announce. It's a modified Quaker meeting. You have a modified Quaker meeting. My sister-in-law is a Quaker. I have not yet been to the French Chapel with her, but I intend to do that sometime soon. The only thing is, we will not require that women sit on one side, men sit on the other side. Other than that, you will have a Quaker meeting. And what that means is that you will sit quietly until someone gets a word from the Lord that needs to be shared. And if you get a word from the Lord that needs to be shared, then you stand up and you share that word briefly. And then you sit back down and everyone thinks about the word that you got from the Lord. And if someone else gets a word from the Lord, then you share that. And you keep going until it's time to quit. And then you have prayer and you go on. And you can do that. I believe that we have done this twice in the last 10 years. Signals crossed and all this kind of stuff. We're thinking that moving forward, it is perhaps a little more likely that something like this could happen. But that's what you will do. And there's no recriminations, there's no nothing. We've had people who didn't realize they were supposed to teach both hours, so they only showed up to teach the second hour. And we've had people who taught the first hour and then left and did not remember they're supposed to teach.
They ruined his clothes.
Yeah. That's what you do. I want to make sure you know that because it could come up.
We don't have a free cut.
I don't see why you would.
Yeah, right.
So, I want to find out what you think was your assignment for this past week in preparation for this morning. What was your assignment? Yes, sir.
Read through.
Starting with
Proverbs.
Okay, that's we do not. I started to lie. I said we don't, but we do. Yes, you're heaping abuse on.
Take out one that is especially.
Focus specifically on Psalm 10, 11, and 12.
Proverbs.
I did it. Proverbs 10, 11, and 12. Look through and see if you could find two that spoke specifically to you. Now, I had one person come up to me this morning and say, you know, I read through these, and I've read all the way through 10, 11, and 12, and not a one. And I thought, how sad. But that's still where we are.
Now, when you get old.
Here's what I want you to understand. Today, you're teaching the lesson. I need you to hear that. Today, you're teaching the lesson. So I'd like to start with Psalm 10.
Proverbs.
It is my belief you can tell when I do things deliberately. I did not do that one deliberately. Proverbs 10. Was there a proverb in Proverbs 10 that spoke to you? Not necessarily jumped out, but that when you read it, you found yourself going back to one. I'm thinking about that. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, when I looked at it, it depended on my state of mind as to what jumped out at me.
Okay, let's pause and talk about that for a second. Tell me more.
If you're looking at it as how am I going to relate to my family, other ones run out. If you look at them as to how they relate to the current political candidates, others jump on it.
And flash.
So it just depends. I just realized that. You can just read through them one time and then read through them the next time, and it's just
I've had about half a dozen really interesting conversations. The sixth of those was this morning when a person stood and said, I've been through all of it, and not a one spoke to me. And I thought, how sad. There was another conversation that said, I realized there were two that jumped out as needing my attention. But I realized if I had done that a week ago, it would have been a different two. Okay? If you begin to understand the power of the Proverbs, it's expressed in those ideas. There may be a week where none of them speak. There may be a week when six of them speak. But week to week, month to month, it's probably going to be different ones. So this was a very specific assignment. What speaks to you this week? So, it's Father's Day. That may have spoken to you. It is summer. We've had some new grandbabies born and new babies born. We've had serious illness. You know, lots of life experiences are going on all around us. So, who's first? Yes, sir. Thank you.
Proverbs.
That was supposed to be a joke. It just didn't go over. All right, I had two in 10. The first was 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is in hand. Related to that was 20. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth it.
Start with 14, you said, right? What was it specifically that caught your attention in there?
The words of people. The last part, the mouth of the foolish ruin is at hand.
Have you been to the worship service yet this morning?
No.
Oh, boy.
I'll quote my friend Judy. Ooh, boy.
Mm-hmm. I had marked that one also, and I was thinking of my daddy. But mine says, a wise man holds his tongue. Only a fool works out everything he knows, because that only leads to sorrow and trouble. And I thought of my daddy.
Can I tell you a story about her daddy?
Sure. If I were once a student.
First house we lived in was bare bones. For those of you who pay attention to real estate, it was over in on Robindale Road, which was just before Bonnier Terrace, I guess it was. Bare bones house. No air conditioning. And specifically, no garbage disposal in the sample. So Barbara's dad and mom came for one of their very few visits. I don't think they visited us more than about three times up here. We've seen them a lot in Texas before he passed on. But I decided while he was here, he's got great experience with appliances and hardware and stuff like this. I decided that would be the time to try to install a garbage disposal. And his thought was that I need the experience. He knows how to do this kind of thing. I don't. I need the experience of doing this. And so he pulled up a chair, and I proceeded to work. Hour and a half later, I'm almost finished when I realize, with a feeling that is still to this day hard to describe, that back in step two, I put one thing in upside down, and the thing was not going to work. Have you had something like that happen?
Yes.
My shoulders slumped. And then I recalled that someone was looking at me. So I turned around and looked. Her daddy is sitting there. And I, no, not grinning. He's just sitting there. And I looked at him and said, you know what I did wrong, don't you? Yep. You knew it when I did it wrong. Right? Yep. Why didn't you say something? Yep. What's his answer? You didn't ask me. My father-in-law and I are very different on this point. Yeah, he did. He said, I knew you would figure it out. It just took all the way to the end. I've heard Barbara, and I've heard her sister, and I've heard her brother talk. Daddy didn't talk much, but all he had to do was to say a sentence. And it had such an effect on them. How did yours say it, Barbara?
A wise man holds his tongue.
Yeah, mine says wise people treasure knowledge, and that thought doesn't come through at all, does it? Does the thought she's expressing come through with yours?
No.
A wise person holds their tongue. That is a theme that goes through Proverbs. In fact, we had a responsive reading this morning, right?
Yeah.
Which you haven't experienced yet. Right? I think there was at least one proverb, if not three or four, that spoke to this point. Wise people hold their tongue. Is that the way yours says that? But what's the second half of the verse, Barbara?
A fool blurts out everything he knows, and that leads to sorrow and trouble.
And that says the babbling of a fool brings ruin near.
Mine uses the word disaster instead of ruin, but it comes out the same thing.
The message says, know-it-alls talk too much.
I hope that's the second half of that verse.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Was it 21 was the other one?
20.
And both of these are talking about words, aren't they? You haven't been to the worship service yet, right? Woo. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. That's my translation. The heart of a fool is worthless. How does yours render the second half of that?
The heart of the wicked is of little value.
Of little value.
The mind of the wicked heart.
The heart.
Your words are worth a dime a dozen.
I shouldn't do this. I was reminded the other day of a trip that I took. And I think I'd been at the University of Richmond 3 years. There is a major instrument that we should have, and we didn't have it. It cost a lot of money in comparison to our budget anyway. And so the decision was made that half of the people in the department would drive to Atlantic City, where there was a big exposition, a big exhibition of scientific instrumentation, and they had one of these devices set up. It was very impractical. This is not something you bring and demonstrate on site. Too much setup and stuff. So four of us drove up to Atlantic City, and one of us, not me, babbled incessantly the whole way up. On the way back, one of my close friends was driving, and this other guy was just jabber, 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 all along. And my friend who was driving says, hey, Joe, jabber, 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 Joe, let's play a little game, jabber, jabber. Let's play pitcher. Have you ever played pitcher? Jabber, jabber, jabber. Here's how the game goes, Joe, jabber, jabber, jabber. The first one to talk breaks the pitcher. Jabber, jabber, jabber. Let's start now. Jabber, jabber, jabber. Oh, Joe, you broke the pitcher. I remember just nearly falling off my chair. It was amazing. I don't remember anything that the guy was saying was worth listening to. He wasn't dumb. But there was just this stream coming out, and all the way up and quarter of the way back. And there was this, let's play pitcher, Joe. Look it up.
I'm reminded of the words of Abraham Lincoln. Oh, shoot.
I think I saw that. Isn't that the one that said you can't believe everything you see on the internet?
No. A wise man, no. A wise man keeps silent. Someone who keeps silent may be thought a fool, but
the one who speaks confirms it.
Confirms it. I can't think of the exact.
There's several, and we read at least one of them this morning. Okay, that's one person and two proverbs. Does someone else have two proverbs? Have a proverb that
I had 25.
You had 25.
Disaster strikes like a cyclone, whirling the wicked away, but the godly have lasting foundation. You know, think back over what happened when Gail died. And I didn't hopefully, not hopefully, but by God's grace, I was not blown away by that, but able to go on.
Any other verses in Scripture pop to mind when you read that one? Which one?
About the wise man built his house on
rock. Built his house on the rock, and the foolish man. I think it's toward the end of Matthew. I'm not sure how far toward the end. Building your house on rock, building your house on sand. The rains came, the winds blew. Right, that's what came to me. I actually marked that one as one of mine.
Could I ask, since I have the floor?
Yes, you do.
You said you're not going to teach, but I've read verse 1 many times.
Chapter 10, verse 1?
Yeah. Proverbs. A wise child brings joy to his father. A foolish child brings grief to his mother. I don't understand that. Looks like it brings pride to his mother, too, not just his father. Why does his mother take all the blame?
Which one is it?
Yeah.
A wise child, it's not a wise guy, it's a wise child. Right. A wise child brings, what is your translation?
Joy to a father.
Joy. I thought I heard you say something else.
Yeah. A foolish child brings grief to a mother.
Well, I could say son.
Because in those days, his mother brought up the child. The dad was like working on the army or what have you. So it was up to the mother to instill good purposes in the child so that when he grew up, and then when the child did well, then who would take credit for it? No, seriously, I mean,
that's my trouble.
They would take credit for it. And if it was bad, then the mom would be, well, you didn't bring him up the way you should have.
I have a feeling this one may be cultural, that the proverb writer is trying to get parallelism, father, mother, something like that. I think that may be a piece of it, but not all of it, because Jim wouldn't have his hand up if that were so. Yes, Jim.
No, I think my footnote that MacArthur gives on this one is, I think, plays both in the old times and today. I mean, and the footnote says, this parental grief is most deeply felt by the mother, who plays a more intimate role in raising
Which is what Tom just said.
But you were saying in light of the day back then, right?
No.
You're saying now.
Yeah,
okay.
It goes.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, it's from the very beginning. That's the same way. The mother usually raises a child to a certain age as you're growing up. So.
But despite the fact that I cry in movies sometimes, I've been known to do that. The mothers are much more have a much closer emotional tie to the child than the fathers.
If only because they spend more time.
Pardon?
If only because they spend more time.
Well, I think too, because they gave birth to that child, It's like, you know, I don't care whether it's an animal or what. The instinct of a mother to protect the young is just unbelievable. Whether it's polar bears or alligators or what it is, the instinct to protect that child.
I would be remiss if I didn't include kindergarten teachers in that same context.
I think it applies to our culture prior to 1950s or 40s before so many women.
Oh, I have a feeling it still does. I think it still does.
More mothers are working.
Yeah. which may make it harder.
I think it's cultural, as you mentioned, but I think mothers are affected either way, and it has a lot to do with that nurturing instinct and so forth. So mothers proud when children do well, and when children don't do well, she doesn't push them away. They're still her children. Dads have a tendency, when children do well, to be just as was mentioned here, they are proud. And when they don't do what maybe the parent may have wanted them to do, dad sometimes will wipe his hands up. So I think that kind of speaks to that a bit. In other words, mother is going to be, I mean, doesn't matter, you're still hers. The grief and all.
You ready to give up the floor?
I'm not giving. I mean, no. My problem is, I just feel like the father is as much responsible for failure as the mother, and even though the mother
responsible,
been,
yes,
yeah.
And this I do think there is a.
Yeah, it is a cultural. When I, that thought had crossed my mind, but since this is supposed to be for all ages here.
And I think we're talking also something about what the averages are, not what the specific cases are. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
I just thought it was interesting.
Kitty's next.
Okay.
Kitty's next.
First of all, I wanted to say, as I read these, and it was Father's Day, I was just amazed at my parents, both of them, how they must have read and studied these constantly, because everything is familiar to me. Not that I didn't need to repeat it, but, you know, I just felt at home, like, yeah, I've heard this before. But the one that I chose from this, it was verse 7.
Chapter 10, verse 7.
That says, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. I don't especially like that vocabulary. But boy, did I think of the dash. You know, we're every Sunday talking about what we leave behind, our reputation, so to speak, that we leave behind. And that made me appreciate Tom's sermons even more, the way that he's kind of emphasizing the Proverbs by each lesson that we have, we can find a proverb that kind of goes along with that. And so I feel like we have God's Word through the Scripture, through the Proverbs, to help us with our life. And in addition to that, we, in this church and hopefully in where we go to worship, there are other people that God continues to speak to that also reveal to us the truths that we need to not just have the knowledge of, but to put into action.
I don't know. There's a few of you who are friends of mine on Facebook, so you may have seen a post, but you may not have understood what was there. There's a friend of mine from high school who became a physician and then died very young with cancer. His widow is a friend now on Facebook. And coming on to Father's Day, she printed a picture of her father in his Air Force uniform. He was a B-24 pilot at a time when B-24 pilots were not necessarily experiencing a long life expectancy. The thing is, I didn't know he was a B-24 pilot. I knew he taught biology at the college alongside my dad, who taught chemistry. And I made the comment in response to her, yes, he was one of the good ones. And weren't we blessed to have had so many good ones around us? I think this verse is speaking to something like that. When I think back to the time that I spent in my hometown, occasionally the bad ones will come to mind. There were some bad ones in that town. But much, much more often, it's the good ones who come to mind. And it seems to me the verse is speaking of something like that. Somebody had posted on Facebook a picture of four men who were active in the church, active in support of the community, active in support of the college, which was one of the big pieces of the town. And they're all gone now. But you see the picture, and all of a sudden these memories come back. I hope you have experiences like that, of thinking back to your childhood, to times when you were in elementary school or high school or maybe even in college, where there were people who came alongside of you. There will be somebody teaching you within the next month who had an experience like this in college. I don't know if you can ever get him to tell you, and I don't know if you'll know which one to do, but he came to school with very little money and ended up that the woman who ran the cafeteria gave him a job, and by having that job, he got to eat three meals a day without paying for them. Somebody else who lived just off campus gave him a room in return for him doing a little yard work. And he says, looking back, he realizes five or six or seven more came to mind as he was telling this story. He realized people were investing in him all the way through. I think when it talks about verse 7, having happy memories of godly people, I think you have happy memories because at some point, or maybe at numerous points, they invested in you. And that's where your memories are coming from. I invite you to think down that road as well. Other comments on this verse?
Bill, along that line, my childhood was not so good.
And some aren't.
And I'll leave it at that. But what you just said, when I was, I guess, remembering back to maybe being 5 or 6 years old, whatever age you started GAs, there was my parents, if somebody would pick me up, they'd let me go, but they didn't take me. And so this lady that worked with the GAs when they first entered the program just took me and led me basically up to high school, almost where then YWA then, well, when I was
not acting then.
It was YWA, Young Women's Association. Anyway, had it not been for those, her and others, that took me and led me, and I don't want to get emotional, and spent time with me, loved me, approved me. Why did you approve them?
Yeah.
At home. And what you just said, you know, others sometimes have to take that position. And I've tried to do that in my life with younger kids. All this to say, if those ladies and GAs taught me about missions and took me to camps and paid my way, my parents wouldn't pay my way, and spent time with me and helped me with projects. My parents didn't help me with those projects. And I don't want to take a lot of time. But I have to wonder if my life would be where it is today.
I'm looking at the back of the room because I'm curious to know if my wife wants to testify.
I can't remember her name.
Mrs.
Asher.
Natalie Asher, but I did have there was a very, very special lady at ACT Teens who loved us and guided us, but I did have a home
experience. She had the home experience, but I can't count the number of times that she's said something about Mrs. Asher. With just the tone in her voice. And this woman not added to what else was happening.
Well, the Lord has been able to use me, and not because of anything I've done. But I have to wonder if I could have had near the degree of whatever you want to call it. You know, work in missions, our life, pastor's life. Before 22 years, Ken pastored. Some of you may not even know that. Before we went to the mission field, I have to wonder what, where I would be today, what would have happened to me.
In the spirit of verse 7, can you call one of those names?
Oh, yeah. Hazel Radican.
Thank you.
And, you know, and this
give me lady, another if you feel like
a lady named Miss Mayo. She was my GA director when I got to about 10 years old and loved me, loved me, loved me. And a girl who actually has my same name, Carolyn, and she's my same age. She was our pastor's daughter. But she was raised to be really strong, and she knew where she was going. And she had the parents that let her. And that girl ministered to me so much. I loved music. And every Sunday, her and her parents came and picked me up for church. And we would get there early because her daddy was the pastor and he needed to be there early. We would go upstairs, and this is when you had the beginning exercises where you sang and mm-hmm. and a little devotional before you went into the Sunday school class. And she would play the piano, and I would sing to my heart's content. Just and Ken says today what he said about me, I know every hymn by heart in the hymnal.
Memorized.
And that's not that may have been close to true a while back, but it's not true anymore. I'm forgetting some of those. But that girl ministered to me by doing that with me, and I just sang and she played and she loved to play.
Let me give you an opportunity. One name from your childhood of somebody you remember, like Carolyn remembers. Radiker, was that her
Radican
name? Radican.
Hazel Radican.
Tell me, just the name.
Nothing. Earhart. Ray Earhart.
Ray Earhart.
I happen to know that.
Jerry. Sherry Baca.
Miss Gauzy.
Miss Petty.
I do, Doc Petty.
Jesse Burke.
Betsy Searles.
Betsy Searles.
Mary Burroughs. Lena and Earl Williams. Jesse Burton.
Who else?
Margaret Thompson.
Mr. Wise.
Mr. Wise. Mr. Wise.
This was beyond my family.
I'm talking about somebody outside your family. Somebody that was in that group with you.
Ronnie Crawford. Ronnie and Cindy Crawford.
Gene Peoples was mine. There were dozens of others, but he was one.
And we have the opportunity to be that person.
Somebody finally went there. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, I had people when I was younger, but I think there's a lot of people in this class for me that have made a big difference. This is the time that I've been here and like transitioned from college to real life.
You want to say thank you to one of them?
I think Anna every week comes over and talks to me, and Jean and Wanda, and Jean Lloyd, especially with them.
I'm working on that right now. They have a grandson, and I'm working on having that grandson understand that there's at least one person in this church. I'm sure there's more. There cannot be only me. But I want him to know God loves him and somebody else does too. I watch for him. And I hope you get the chance to see him. What a little pistol. People have encouraged you. You encourage others. And that memory lingers on. That verse is important. Another verse. Anybody have another verse for us to think of, right?
Well, I just had to this class, Alstine Benjamin's class. I think most of the blessings that we've had in our marriage and our relationship for me this class, and also to you for leading us spiritually.
Trying to make you think. Is there another proverb you'd like to call attention to?
A slack hand falls into poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes it rich. I guess I would say that differently when I was growing up. My father always said, idle hands are the tool of the devil. And,
usually with a smack across the back of the rear end.
Yeah, I attribute that to my dad, is that he always wanted me to, always encouraged me to be involved in something with the sports or going to camp or doing some things. And I did see growing up, you know, other folks would hang out with the wrong crowd and then that would lead to getting in trouble. And played a lot of sports. Surrounded you with people that were trying to do things and accomplish something. I attribute that to staying out of trouble and being involved.
Got time for maybe one more?
I'm not going to be here next Sunday, but if I could hop to verse 2 in chapter 11, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. My father never finished grade school, I don't think. He hopped on a merchant ship, lied about his age, and ran away. And so his education was minimal. And he made it up to being a custom house broker. And then he got an opportunity to be a vice president of a mahogany company that was importing logs. And about 2 years after that, the Japanese started sending in pressed mahogany boards to the company. Company went broke. But during that period of time where he was earning more money, he just dumped all the people that had been with him over the years. And there was one man that stuck with him. And ultimately, he wound up back on the pier. My father wound back up on the pier checking manifests as they came in on the ships. And when he died, I called this individual. His name was Ike Morris, and he had been there for my father even when my father had helped him. And he said, I'd be honored. I'll never forget it.
Anybody else? One more proverb out of chapter 10.
I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get the assignment, but I was looking here. Number 9, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out.
Follow crooked paths, that's what it says. Okay.
I just look at 6 as a microcosm of America that I have known. Looking at it at a national level, but as we become less righteous and more violent, the blessings of the righteous and the violence on the mouths of the wicked, I just look at Proverbs 6 as a, like say, a microcosm of the America that we have seen or are seeing.
In the spirit of trying to get you to look at one or two specific things, let me try to do that with you now. I want you to take a look at verse 16. Your translation may not support what I'm about to do, and I recognize that. But this translation does. Verse 16. I'm not looking at the whole of in chapter 10, verse 16. I'm going to look at the first half of the verse. And here's what I'm looking at. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives. And here's what I want you to look at. Look carefully. The earnings of the godly. And it says something about that. Come down to verse 20. Do you see something parallel to that?
Righteous,
16, the earnings of the godly. Verse 20, the words of the godly. Verse 21, the words of the godly. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord. Verse 24, the fears of the wicked. Verse 24, the hopes of the godly. Verse 27, fear of the Lord. Verse 28, the hopes of the godly. Verse 29, the way of the Lord. Verse 31, the mouth of the godly person. Verse 32, the lips of the godly. Still verse 32, the mouth of the wicked. People have attributes that are so attached to them that they almost become part of them. The Proverbs is picking those up. And they're saying most of the time they're drawing attention to the good things. But every once in a while, they draw attention to the bad things. The hopes of the godly, the way of the Lord, the mouth of the godly person. The hopes of the godly, the blessing of the Lord, the words of the godly, the earnings of the godly. There's a way of looking at this and beginning to realize there's attributes that come into my life and your life. And Proverbs is saying those can be used in a way that move you on God's road and keep you off of the broad way that leads to death. And I think that's all I want to try to show you today. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for the time we have together. We thank you for the chance to begin to look closely at one chapter of Proverbs. And I pray that as we gather to look at other verses and other chapters, that you will give us insights that will give us things to think about. We pray that you would keep us safe, watch over and guard us. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. What's your assignment for next week?
Two verses out of 11 and 12.
Keep doing that for 11 and 12. But be prepared that there may be somebody else up here.
Thanks.